This broadcast of the PJC Media Network seeks to present wholesome, thought-provoking, and entertaining content. However, the views expressed by the hosts of PJC Media are theirs and theirs alone. They do not reflect the views of this network or its affiliates. Please utilize listener discretion.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. Each week, we feature different topics concerning issues that sometimes can be difficult to talk about. These issues concern children and adults who may be autistic, have Asperger's, or have mental disorders of any kind. We will discuss law enforcement and how they interact with these persons. Now, let's start the show.
Good evening. Good evening. And welcome to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. Today we will be talking to our favorite guest. And this is Officer Reggie Barnes. But before we bring him in, I was waiting for someone, but they haven't come in yet. At any rate, we're talking tonight about, has the world lost its mind? Has the world lost its mind? Think about that. What do you think? Some have the idea that the world is spinning out of control and that there's nothing can do about it. It seems that the shootings and the attacks and the bombs and the constant stream of awful stuff that is happening out there is causing chaos and insecurity. The world isn't any worse than it has been. It's just that we're more aware of all of the bad things that ever, of all those bad things that has been going on before. The violence isn't new. It's just that we are more aware of all the bad things than ever before. The violence is not new, says Ms. Coates. It's the cameras that are new. Cameras, the internet, and social media are giving us information, and this constant awareness of every fault and flaw of our humanity combined with an inundation of doomsayers and narcissistic persons, which is what is causing this constant feeling of a chaotic and insecure world that doesn't actually exist. Okay, so my co-host is in, and I want to get your idea. What do you think? Has the world lost its mind? So right now I'm introducing Mr. Coleman. How are you?
I'm good, Jenny White. How are you today?
Okay. I'm good. I was waiting for you.
Well, here I am, TGI.
Okay. Okay, and now I'll bring our guest in, Officer Reggie Barnes. How you doing, Officer Barnes?
I'm doing fine. How's everybody doing?
Good.
Pretty good.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yes, and we have a guest, and if they want to say something, they can press the 1, and we can find out how they feel. But right now, Officer Barnes. What do you think?
Yes.
Has the world lost its mind?
I think the world is on a tilter. Right now, I think so many people have allowed the pandemic to erase common sense. And if we start looking at things in this perspective, I just want to say that most of us that do have common sense, I want to put God into this subject tonight and say that I just had a birthday a couple of days ago, and I thank God for giving me the opportunity to reach another birthday through all
Amen.
These issues that we have tried to deal with just to keep some normalcy. And I feel blessed and thankful for the wisdom and the strength that he kept me focused on the mission to keep on living. Because to live every second is more important to me than thinking about dying every moment.
That's true.
So there's so many things that I think that the people in general has lost focus on. And I want to take this opportunity to mention, as a black motorcycle police officer, I still belong to the organization that keeps closely with the riders, and we share information. Yesterday, I have the sad news of mentioning that there was a three-year veteran, a friend of mine's son, that works out in California. He's a CHIP officer, and he was killed yesterday in the line of duty. What happened was his name is Andre Moyet, Jr., and like I said, he's only 33 years old and only had 3 years on the job, was pulling over a white pickup truck on the interstate of 215 freeway in Riverside. So when he pulled his vehicle over, a white male got out the vehicle with a long gun and shot the officer dead as he approached the vehicle. Another two responding officers that responded to that call for assistance, he shot them, but they're stable and don't have any life-threatening injuries. But the thing about this incident was that I've always told people there's no such thing as a routine traffic stop. And this individual that he pulled over had an extensive criminal violent record against police officers. He's actually served 10 years for attempted murder of a police officer in 1994. And he was let out, and later he was arrested again for an assault on the police officers. And this time, this incident, he ended up killing a police officer and shooting two others. But his unfortunate demise was that he was killed in the process after he shot the second officer.
Okay. So one of the officers did get an opportunity to shoot back?
Yes, one of the officers had an opportunity to return fire and killing the suspect at the scene, which is not, you know, still sad that people take a life for what reason? Here we have a person that took an oath to protect and serve, which I think I don't want to put a blanket statement out stating that most people don't care about certain individuals, but when I look at the incidents that have happened across this country where I understand Black Lives Matter, I understand that everybody's life matters, but the way we're ending up these situations are with violence and not nonviolence. And we're take these actions to where that people are being killed for what reasons? Because you're mad? Because you're upset? Which doesn't make a lot of sense either, because now after the day is over with, you'll have plenty of time to think about what you did, which is always after the fact. We have grown adults that act like kids as far as making decisions on what's the benefit of the individuals themselves. And everybody's not looking out for the children. That's what bothers me more so than anything else. We're not looking out for the benefit of the children in long term. Just right now, that when we look at the virus itself has mutated to another type of variant. And from the way I've been reading since we've talked about this virus, it is stated by the experts that between 85 and 95% of the persons that died of COVID were unvaccinated, which tells me that I understand that the virus vaccine was not available in the beginning, but when it did become available, there was a lot of misinformed information. A lot of people were hesitant. I even heard stories about people claiming, like Miss Evers' boys, like, we're going to be experiments, we're going to be this, we're going to be that. But the problem I had was what I tried to explain on one of the shows that we had, the reason why I decided to take the vaccine. And the more you read about this vaccine, it's not going to stop the COVID, but it's going to keep you from getting the serious injury, illness, and help keep you out of the hospital. But now they're saying now that within the hospital, they have a superbug fungus that spread in two cities, and one of the cities is Texas. I want to bring Texas up because Texas is a state that's doing a lot of changes that doesn't sound like they're benefiting the people there. You wanted to change the gun laws to where everybody carry a gun.
Without a permit.
Without a permit, absolutely. And starting at 18 years old, without any training, without any background checks. So I'm pretty sure there's a lot of people don't wear masks down there because they say they were fully vaccinated, which is a problem too. Because how do you know somebody's vaccinated? When there was an article just recently, I don't know if anybody read this, but can comment on it if they heard it, that there was a man, and I'm not sure if it was in this country, that was posing as his wife to get on a plane that had COVID. And I'm saying, are these people just out of their mind? So now you're exposing people on a plane because you wanted to go somewhere.
You said he dressed up as his wife?
He dressed up as his wife. He passed for his wife to get on this plane. And I think that was a foreign flight.
So he was going to have to be with a lot of people for a long time.
Right. Well, and there was another issue that was brought up. I don't know if you heard about this new virus that came into the United States called the monkeypox. CDC is monitoring 200 people in 27 states.
Wait a minute. Is that after Delta?
Yes.
Oh, because I haven't heard that. What'd you call it, the monkey who?
It's called the monkeypox. The U.S. Health officials now are watching signs for the possible outbreak across 27 states. What has happened was a person from Nigeria earlier this month entered into Texas after arriving from Nigeria, became sick and exposed over 200 persons on that flight. And the individuals, they said, were spread across 27 states coming from overseas. So now they're trying to track and consider about who is at high risk. And monkeypox was detected in humans in Africa in 1970. So are we bringing another problem to the United States? So
I don't know, but I did hear them say that the patients are growing again, whereas
yes.
they had gone down. Now they're, getting more and more and more. What is this?
Well, the problem is the people that don't want to get vaccinated are the ones that's creating this Delta variant. And it's also stated that the infectious respiratory diseases is more rapid than the original COVID. And that's kind of scary, too, because this is the other issue. If your children under the age of, 12 can't get the vaccine,
right.
aren't the adults exposing the children to this and you want to open the schools back up? I'm opening, this channel for callers to call in. Help us understand what is going on. What's the answer?
Okay, guys, You've heard him. He's looking for you to make a comment or ask a question. All you have to do is press the 1 on your phone, and we can find out. In the meantime, we're going to go to a commercial, and this is the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show.
This is Jacqueline Jones Frederick of Jones & Frederick Enterprises, Inc. This incorporation consists of a tutoring business, a tutoring staffing, and a traveling business. We have served the community since 2007. Our clients are third graders to college students. We tutor in all academic subjects. Please call Jacqueline at 586-306-5487.
We'll be back to the Let's Talk About It, Jenny White Show.
Want to start a business or have tax issues? We know exactly how to handle your individual needs. We personalize each individual and give you the time required to focus on your needs. We audit you before the IRS does. The IRS is not on your side, but we are. We set up companies, do tax preparation, tax and retirement planning, bookkeeping, IRS audits, and reviews. Please call me, Deborah Mitchell, owner of Mitchell & Company, for a free consultation at 248-354-5122. And visit my website, MitchellTaxAccounting.com.
Hi, friends. I'm Dr. Mike Spaulding, inviting you to listen to great Bible teaching on the Transforming Word radio show and podcast. All shows are available on iTunes and Stitcher. Search for the Transforming Word and subscribe for notification of new shows. You may also listen to every episode from my website, www.thetransformingword.com. In addition to the Transforming Word, I want to make you aware of my interview, news, and opinion show, Soaring Eagle Radio. If you're interested in engaging conversations related to a variety of topics not covered by typical news media, then check out Soaring Eagle Radio. You may subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher, and you may listen to every episode on my website, www.soaringeagleradio.com. For more information on my ministries, please email me, Pastor Mike at cclohio.com. Again, that's Pastor Mike at cclohio.com. Thank you for listening to these shows, and please leave me a note when you do. God bless you today.
God gives humans the gift of making amazing stories to glorify Him. At SpeculativeFaith.com, our ministry is to help fans explore fantasy, science fiction, supernatural stories, and beyond from an intentional and biblical Christian perspective. We share daily articles and have extensive archives tackling hot topics like end times beliefs, the art of writing, creative excellence in the Christian subcultures, discernment, sex, magic, Harry Potter, and space aliens and the Bible. If you are a parent or anyone else with a discriminating palate, our reviewers explore fantastical novels, movies, television, and games in light of God's beauty, goodness, and truth. Want to find Christian stories? The SpecFaith Library lists every fantastical novel we can find from a Christian author. It's all part of our mission to discern, engage, and enjoy fantastical human creativity in honor of our Creator, Jesus Christ. SpeculativeFaith.com, exploring fantastical stories for God's glory.
Are you a reader looking for more compelling Christian fiction? Maybe something a little more edgy or a bit more real? Are you tired of most Christian fiction shying away from the truth and settling for a rose-tinted view of the world and its issues? Or are you an author who has a compelling story to tell but you're afraid it doesn't jive with today's brand of Christian or secular fiction? Are you tired of Christian publishers telling you that your content is too edgy? Or maybe you've tried submitting your content under the radar to secular publishers only to be told your themes are a bit too religious. We invite you to take a look at the Crossover Alliance. We are an online publishing company that specializes in edgy Christian speculative fiction. Speculative fiction with Christian themes and real-world content. Our company is formed from authors and readers just like you who are breaking into the mainstream and Christian markets with this compelling genre. Head over to the www.thecrossoveralliance.com for all the details on who we are, what we do, and what we accept. Right now, if you sign up for our email newsletter, you'll receive a free digital copy of our first short story anthology. Check us out today and help us spread the word about the Crossover Alliance, where light shines brighter in the darkness.
If you are in need of life insurance, auto or home insurance, or need help in getting out of debt, call your helpful insurance agents at Prime Financial Services. Did you know if you add a child rider to your life insurance policy, you can add multiple children for the price of one, starting at $10,000 worth of coverage for under $10. Call today for a free quote at 313-293-0979. Mention you heard this ad on this show for a free gift.
And we're back to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. Okay, and we're back with the Jenny White Show, and we're talking tonight about the world. Has the world lost its mind? And I've asked the listeners to press the 1 if you would like to ask a question, or if you want to ask a question or make a comment about what do you think is going on. Are we having too many deaths? I mean, the guest just told us about a pedestrian just getting out of his vehicle and shooting an officer. I mean, how can you just do that? So I don't know. I don't know. Okay, Officer Barnes,
you know,
what do you think? Why do you think he did that? Just because he doesn't like cops?
Well, he had a criminal history of assaulting police officers and,
okay,
you know, attempting killing. He served 10 years, but that just shows you how unfair the system is, too. Kwame got 28 years for perjury.
Yes, he did.
He didn't kill anybody. But here you got a person that attacks police officers, and he only gets 10 years? Something's
okay,
wrong with that.
Well, you know the reason for that.
Well, then that's what part of the questioning is. Are we losing our mind in decision-making that we make as adults, and why are we allowed to keep them doing the same process? I noticed that, you know, the surge in crime is increasing in every state. But this is our issue, and it's everybody's issue at this point, that I'm watching police officers retire at mass numbers, especially the ones that have got their time in. But this is your problem. Your problem is you're losing your experience and most valuable officer that can help resolve some of these problems, because they're leaving for the lack of support in doing their job. When you have the public against you and the administration not backing you, what choices can you make that are going to benefit you in the long haul?
Okay, well, let me ask you this. Do you think that that's why Chief Craig left?
Well, I think there's some other underlying issues involved there. I think there's an ulterior motive to me.
That he wanted to be governor?
I think he's fueled by some other sources.
Okay.
I think that's going to be a nasty race, because I wonder if John James is going to run again.
Oh, gosh. I heard he was.
Well, so if you got John James and Chief
and Craig,
they're going to split the votes right there if the incumbent is going to run for next term.
I think she is, too.
So there's going to be a war in voting there. But you got a problem, too, coming up. There's officers that I'll give you a good example. We've all been following Columbus, Ohio, and the crime that is escalated there. they came up with an incentive program to have police officers have a buyout to retire, and they're looking for over 100 police officers to retire, which that means you're getting ready to lose your experienced officers to what? So we can recruit.
Where did you say this was?
They offered a buyout of $200,000 for at least 100-plus officers to retire.
And what state is this?
25 years of experience.
What
I mean, who wouldn't want to take that? When you
Officer
can get out
Barnes.
With your life and move on with your life.
Officer Barnes, what state did you say that was?
That's Columbus, Ohio.
Ohio, okay.
I mean, and they have unprecedented violence going on right now. And I think the chief of police made a statement where that she was concerned about losing any one of the officers. She said, I want to be definitely clear about that, because having that personnel is of extreme importance to the division right now. But what I'm hopeful for is that what we're going to do is an extreme aggressive recruiting campaign. Well, it's kind of hard to recruit people that want to come to a job knowing the ramifications that can happen to them unless, you know, they can see things that are going to be more beneficial. When you can talk to people that have did a career there, and then you find out at the end of your career what they promised you in the beginning of your career is not going to be the same as the commitment that you made. In other words, it changed. We promised you health care, and then you find out at the end of your career that you end up paying for health care. But then if you get injured on that job, which most people don't strap on a gun and go looking for trouble, end up getting hurt. And then when they suffer these injuries are for the rest of their life. And some officers have a long-term haul with trying to deal with their issues. And, of course, the medical coverage doesn't always cover out of your paycheck.
Well, what I don't understand, and maybe you can help me, why would a department offer people that much knowing that they need them? But
I think that's part of that question you asked before about defunding. Everybody wants to cut back on funds to the police department and try to create other organizations within the police department, such as the mental runs. They want to put social workers in there to respond. So you would pay a social worker out of a different fund than out of the police fund because they were not police officers. So you want to recreate the process here. But the question I have for why would a social worker want to respond to a violent scene or violent situation? And how are they going to protect themselves once they get there?
Now, that's two good questions. I don't think they, well, if I was one, I wouldn't want to go. But maybe you can train the police, you know, in behavior. I don't know, but, you know, it just seems to the people, I'm just speaking, you know, that every time you turn around, a black person has been killed by a Caucasian officer. And can you understand why they would want some kind of, not necessarily a counselor or whatever, but how they want the police to get a little bit more training? But if you're racist person, I don't think you care one way or another. I don't know. It's just me talking.
Well, the point is valid because I've always believed people have two faces, the one you see and the one you don't see. And they only react at the time of the incident, or I used to say at the time of war. You can see a person do something at one moment, and then if something flicks a switch, they change their whole attitude, and they do something different. Sometimes, you know, it was for me when I came on the job back in the early 70s, we would just remember a lot of people. We were shortly out of the riot in 67, but there was a lot of wounds there and a lot of hate against black people, against white people, against the police for all the damage that was created from the military that was brought into this city, disproportionate separation from the neighborhood, the rebuilding. So there was a lot of apprehension and distrust that was built in our community. How do you trust the police to do the right thing? Because they were hell-bent on crucifying blacks no matter if you were good or not. You know, you had Pookie and Ray Ray, and you had me and Mrs. Jones. How do you separate the two if all you see is color? And that's how they acted back then. Not saying they don't act like that now, but they pick and choose how they treat people. But see, there needs to be some accountability as far as I'm concerned. And, you know, it's not like you're telling on somebody, but then things need to be told. Because I always look at a situation where that I'm going to treat you the way I want to be treated. And I know that's better said than done for so many other people, but the question I have is, when you live in the city, you service people that you knew, and people that may not have known you knew of somebody that knew you. So they could call your parents, they could call your brother, they could call your sister or your cousin and say, what the hell is wrong with him or her? And then we have a community dialogue. But since we got out of the community policing, that's why it's so much chaos in these cities, because these people don't actually live in the city. They don't have an investment.
Well, there were some that weren't living in the city when they were supposed to be anyway.
Yeah, but that was controlled. That's a little bit different. They had to live in the city a certain amount of days of the week. They had an address that they used. They had an actual unit called a residency unit. And if they find that you were living outside the city with a different address, then there were some disciplinary actions, but there was no law stating that you couldn't have two addresses. So they got around that process.
When did they change the address?
When Archer and Governor Engler passed a law where they no longer had to be a resident of the city to work. They were all in cahoots. Residency became effective back then. That allowed them to move. And the argument was always for the better standard of their living, such as school education, the crime. Well, I mean, we're all part of that. Why didn't we make that better? We're always running away from the problem instead of solving the problem. That's why we end up living with regrets.
Well, I don't understand it. I don't understand it.
Well, that's why I was opening the lines to any caller and said, can you help me understand what I don't understand?
Hmm.
But I guess maybe they're in the same dilemma I am. I mean, what is the answer to the solution here? What is it that we need to do to make things better?
Now that's, what is it, the million-dollar question? How do you do it?
Well, first of all, the people that we put in office and they don't do what they say they're going to do, the next time it comes up for them to be elected or reelected, don't put them back in. Take them out. Use your power of the vote.
Yeah, but the way they're doing it now, they're trying to limit our votes again. Here we go again. Okay, we have one listener that wants to make a statement. Hey, how you doing, Miss Lucy?
How are you this evening?
Fine.
How are
y'all
for providing?
Hello, Miss Lucy. How are you?
Okay, I was just listening to what you say. I had an experience. I was up late one night. Yeah, I just got up to do something, and I turned on the YouTube. I look at that a lot. And there was a very popular evangelical minister that's very outspoken. And he was zeroing in on how, his churches, they don't have the problems. They don't have this. They don't have that. They had very few COVID cases, and they're still meeting as a church and all of this. And then he talked about the black community. He said, well, we were trying to help in that area, but when you look at the literacy rate, in the black community, and then the single parent households and things, he said they really have a problem. But he seemed like he was saying it was their problem to handle that. Then I was listening to Bishop Noel Jones, and he was stating this. I think this past week, he pointed out that the federal government is trying to give the churches or people in that community, I think he said about $5 billion. I'm not sure, $5 million or $5 billion, to stop our young people, 13 and 14, from shooting each other in the head. It's really wild out there that we are killing. Our children are killing children to be bad. You know, I'm the best, to be the best, whatever, gun person or whatever. He said it's going on. And he was asking his congregation, what can we do to stop this in our community? The focus is on what we can do in our community. And he was looking for the churches to get together to try to stop this shooting. And he said, so far, if I'm not mistaken, you can listen to Noel Jones for this past Sunday. And I think he said there's been about 300 or 400 shootings just among the young people and the gangs and stuff.
Average of 316 shootings in America every day.
So this is happening to our young people. We're trying to say that to stop the police problem. Then he pointed, this one evangelical minister was saying, he feels like the Black Lives Matter movement and their philosophy is the main thing that's going to tear this country up, and it shouldn't be allowed to go on. He said a lot of churches fell into that trap of trying to help out. He's talking as far as justice is concerned. But he was saying that this is the biggest thing that this country is facing now. They want to take the funds and the money from the people who have and make it so that it spreads around so that, so everybody can have something. You know, that's their doctrine, whether Marxist doctrine or whatever. He was against that. He was talking about this Black Lives Matter movement. It seems like to me, if we cannot control our communities, we don't have any hope at all. You have to find some way, and I've been really praying about this. How can we control our children? Now, we have parents, one-parent households that they're just there. They're not trying to teach their children. And all
that's
of this,
true.
They were talking about how this COVID, this variant of COVID, it's coming up again. Well, it hit us real hard before, But I don't think you're going to close this nation down. Just let the people, you know, drop dead in the street or whatever, you know. But it's a lot of things, but you have to, first of all, control your home and the community. And then I was talking to my sister. She was saying a lot of parents are afraid of their children. They're afraid of their own children, you know.
That's not anything new.
That's true, yeah.
You know, that has been going on.
Now, they're giving you some money to try to handle this problem in your neighborhood, and what can we do? And he pointed this out. What can we do in order to control our neighborhoods and to stop?
Well, one of the things that we can do is a lot of people seem to forget. Back in the day when the school system had after-school programs that kept kids busy, and then when those after-school programs was busy, they had enough homework until it was time for them to go to bed. So that kept them out of trouble, too. We've gotten away from, like, workshops in schools, like where you had you had a print shop, you had a metal shop, you had a workshop, a wood shop, you had a leather shop. I mean, economics, home cooking.
No money. No money.
That's true. Another thing I found out, and I was talking about it, for a special needs child in the school system now, if you stay in the school system in the Detroit area and you graduate, they don't give you a diploma. They give you a certificate. And then what can they do with a certificate? With a three-year program to go to college, you can't use the certificate for that.
They're doing that because they don't think that the child is going any further. But hold on. I have another caller.
Go ahead.
Caller, you'd like to make a statement?
Hi,
hey,
here.
How you doing?
Yeah, I got to, you know, we keep asking, how can we fix something? First of all, you got to find out where it started from. Okay, if you go and you start looking back on the history of this country, you'll find out that we were disenfranchised a long time ago.
That's true.
It's like a herd running down the road, and you're gonna stand in front of it and say stop, and change your directions. Nine times out of ten, you're just gonna get ran over.
That's what's happening. Because one thing I've
never been able to understand is parents, kids, 3, 4, 5 years old, play with these games that let you chop somebody's head off, you know, cut them up, do all kind of stuff, and say, well, that don't affect him. How would that affect him? How do you think that would affect the kid? I mean, you see kids doing things that you would have never dreamed of 20 years ago.
That is true.
And they, you know, so we have allowed things to actually come into play that hurt us because we haven't went all the way back to find out what was the real problem. Better than that, who was the problem? Remember Hoover was the one that set all those
drugs
in black neighborhoods.
They did. That's
but,
true.
You know, but if you don't, people are not looking back and say, well, they shouldn't be killing people. Why wouldn't they? You let all the drugs that you could find, because I think they said in the 60s there was so much drug flooding the streets that somebody had to bring that stuff in on a ship. It ain't not one black person on the ship to send that much drugs into one place. And the FBI knew where it was coming from. The CIA
they did it on purpose.
Knew where it was coming from. That's what I'm saying. Now, why are you asking why we are where we are when you know what was done to you on purpose?
And we know where we are. But the whole thing is going back. I agree with you. We know where it's coming from, where all this started. But we still have to find some way to deal with it now. How can we deal with it in our communities? We know what has happened. We can't rely on the outside.
The biggest thing that left our community was the church. We're hitting a generation that has never been to church in their life and have no clue of what it is. Because the church builds character. Because it gets you to understand there is a right way and a wrong way to do stuff. But nowadays, most of the churches are empty. you know. And most of the churches are empty because we have a lot of people that really like to put out programs and appoint people to do stuff that they don't know how to do. But it's an idea of who can it. I call it the Trump syndrome. If you look at what they'll ask people to do, but they make sure they pick people that'll do what they tell them to do, not somebody that is more creative than they are, because then they start feeling inferior. So
right,
you got the church coming in.
Huh? Well, he's asking you. Go ahead.
And intimidated.
Yes. But, you know, now a lot of our churches, we have older people there. And if you understand mm-hmm. that COVID, when it hit a lot of older people in the church, even people are saying if they do open the church up, they won't go back in there because they're concerned about getting sick from being in the church. They, you know, they pay their tithes and things like that to keep the church going and things, but they are still concerned with it. Like we kept mm-hmm. things going for our young people at our church. But we were older people putting things on and doing this, you know. And now a lot of people, they don't want to, you know, go back into the church with like that. And now they're talking about this new variant is rising again, and people are really nervous about that. Now, you can try to do things with the Zoom, you know, but it's not like, because I even know about my grandchildren, they really miss church. I try to do mm-hmm. other things with them. But they really need to, you know, be in church. But then you're afraid that they might get sick. You're concerned about them getting sick. So, but here was the Bishop Noel Jones. He was mentioning, what can we as church people do to help our community out? We're still supposed to be salt and light in all of what's been going on. We're still supposed to be salt and light and represent the Lord in the proper way. We're still supposed
okay,
to be that.
Okay, how many, trying to take it, how many of these people, because they should not have let it, well, I'm talking about the cookies and all the dope that's legal now,
yeah, that's
that
true.
Hurts our children too. Now you can make cookies and cupcakes and all sorts of things, but it still gets you high. So why do you think all these young people have just gone crazy? And not only them, you got adults. You know, and they're saying it's good for your arthritis, and you know, I don't know, is it good for
your
arthritis?
Well, you know, I went and asked. I had an eye doctor's appointment, right? And I said, and my son said, you know, you know that marijuana can, you know, can solve that problem. I said, well, no, I don't believe that. So I went and
I asked the eye doctor,
right? I said, well, I keep hearing that marijuana is supposed to help your eyes. She said, well, yeah, if you smoke a pound of it a day or 2 pounds a day, it might help your eyes.
Well, I don't think you're going to be seeing anything after that.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm talking about.
You wouldn't care if you saw anything.
You
wouldn't
care.
You wouldn't care about the problem of eyes or nothing.
Yeah. You know.
I think your eyes are going to be shut for the rest of the day.
Well, one thing about that, I ain't going nowhere then, right?
Right.
But what I'm trying to get out is that, you know, all of these things are happening, and that may be a part of why so many things are happening.
Well, we got to remember one thing. Kids are like sponges. They mold to what the adults do. And that's why, you know,
that's true.
I've learned that you have to be careful what you say around children, because they will absorb that information and they'll repeat it or do it later.
And they will run with it, yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Oh, yes. And they don't forget it, but
ask them
what it is.
They can tell you the date, time, and where they was when you said it.
Yeah, but ask them how much is two and two. And
oh, yeah, right.
Well,
they,
yeah,
I asked my granddaughter one day, what is 12 times 12? You know what she told me?
What?
We didn't get that far yet.
I'm gonna give you one better than that. Before I left Detroit and to go to Kansas City, I was teaching at this college. I can't think of the name, but it used to be on Greenfield and Grand River. It where that I think it was Montgomery Ward's there. It was upstairs. It was a
was
a college, right?
Was it Weatherstone?
I don't think it was Weatherstone. But anyway, I've had to teach this math class, right? And it was like, I think it's 14 weeks. Well, by the time I got to week 10, you know, we had finished a whole book, right? So I called up the administrators and said, now, we already finished the book. Is there something else we're supposed to do? You know what they told me? You're only supposed to go through chapter 1 and 2 for 14 weeks. I'm like, what?
I know the name of that school called Cornerstone.
Is that no Cornerstone?
I thought that was the name of that school. Are you talking about?
It had dawned on me in a minute. But it was right connected with Montgomery Ward's.
Right, it was above Montgomery Ward. That was Cornerstone.
That don't sound like the name to me. I'll be honest with you, Reggie. It don't sound like the name.
Really?
But I ain't
because
wrong,
I did the work there.
Right. I just don't know. I really don't remember the name. But it'll dawn on me probably after we get off the phone. But I'm just saying, they are limiting us to what, you know, they made money off these kids. But you can take one book, 20 chapters, and get 2 or 3 years out of it, and you take them out to the suburbs in 60 days. They know the whole thing. Because I was just dumbfounded. I said, we could start all over one again and keep on going, and you know. but they were actually mad at me for doing that, you know, for finishing the work, you know.
Crazy.
So, I mean, so we're getting shortcut on just about everything that we try to do.
That is true, yeah.
You know.
Then
and
you
so
have to look at the legal,
working
with
cut,
you have to look at the legal ramifications for it. The legal part of working with children.
Right.
That's a big issue.
Well, you know, I don't know. I don't know what we're going to do, but somebody has to come up with a plan. Yes.
That's workable, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because we really need some help.
Well, I'm trying. There was this PhD doctor, and I think the gentleman was Jewish or whatever. And he said, well, you know, we put all this stuff down in the black neighborhoods and stuff, but we ain't gonna let our kids listen to it. But it's okay for, you know, for y'all to listen to it.
Huh.
You know.
You
know what we do? We listen to it.
That's the problem.
Right.
That's the problem.
And I don't think people take Christianity as serious as they do. Because I had a friend in Kansas City. As soon as we got out of church, if you heard the music, he didn't wait till he get out of the church parking lot. And he turned that music blasting. And it had more vulgar than... And I'm like, how can you just walk out of the church and turn that stuff on? You know, it was like, maybe that in church just became a process instead of something they really, you know, dig down in deep. Because, like I said, when my kids were young, if they heard a bad word in a movie, they look at me. Because they know if they hear a second one, we getting up and leave.
Right.
Yeah. And they used to say, but Dad.
This music that they are creating now cannot beat the oldies but goodies. I don't care what anybody says. Because I don't even listen to it. I don't know the people, and I don't care to hear their music.
Well, it's not the music. It's the TV shows, the what's that, Ladies of L.A. or what, all that stuff. My son listens to that, and he's got three girls, no, two girls and two boys. The names they be calling young ladies. I'm like, how can you have that on when you got girls?
Oh, is that on television?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And you know the kids are sitting there playing, right? And they're listening to TV. You may not think they're listening to it, but they're listening to the TV. And I told them, I said, now when my grandkids start going to school and acting crazy, I'm gonna pull both of y'all aside. I'm gonna ask you, why did you do what you did? Because you knew better.
Well, you got to remember too, you got to monitor this cable. Period.
Yeah.
Because they show anything on cable now. You know, unless you put a sensor unit on.
The Disney Channel.
What did she say?
Concerns about that.
Oh, the Disney Channel?
Yeah, something you have to monitor the Disney Channel. I have one mother say she walked in and she could see something that she didn't ever believe she would see on the Disney Channel.
Well, I watch Gunsmoke.
Hey, babe, I'm not even in the running.
They're not going to find any bad words coming out of Matt Dillon's mouth.
No, but you got a lot of violence on Gunsmoke.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah. I mean, he always starts off some of his shows on Boot Hill.
That's true. That's true. That's true. But I still like him.
I like Superman.
Remember back then, they couldn't sleep in the bed together. Remember? If you were married on TV, you had to keep one foot on the floor and the other foot in the bed, and she had to have a separate bed, and she had to do the same thing. You know? Because even, I Love Lucy and Desney never slept in the same bed together. I don't know how they made little Ricky.
That was an actual guy.
Yeah. But now everything is everything, you know.
Yeah, it's come a long way. It's come a very long way. I don't know.
We have to find something. It's got to be an answer for our children.
That's the truth. Because they're going down the wrong roads. I don't care what we try to teach them.
You don't want to see 14-year-olds and everything on death row. They will do it. Let's face it.
And you don't want to see them smoking. You know, anybody can get the weed or the vaping thing. I mean, come on. I saw a mother and a son walking in the vaping store. A mother and a son. So we just aren't being good models now for our children. I don't know something has gone wrong.
Well, if you're 35 years old and don't understand what's right or wrong, how would you going to give it to somebody else, to your kids? They're going to do exactly what they see you do. You know,
because
remember, when we were little, they tell us to leave the room. Hey,
leave the room. You're right.
Leave the room.
You're right.
You know.
Yeah, absolutely.
But
and
yeah,
I
they
still
say
do that.
In front of the kids.
I still do that. And I had a friend, and she and I were talking, and her daughter was sitting right there. And I asked her a question, and her daughter answered me. And that really, I didn't say anything, but I was not talking to that child. And I'm always telling my grands, you know, go out of the room because you're not in this conversation. And kids like to do that. And parents don't care.
Correct.
They
don't want to correct them.
That's right. They don't care. So I don't know.
They don't know to care. They don't know to care. How do they?
No.
Well,
some of them know.
From?
Some of them.
But
some
you got a lot of parents that want to be their friends, too. That's another
it.
Issue.
And that's it. That's it. And I tell my kids, that's not your friend. That is not your friend. That's your child.
No, I mean, I've seen them as far as calling the parent by their first name. Now, that's getting a little bit ridiculous to me. That, you know, it's first of all, it's out of respect. I tell kids all the time, especially on the block, that if once they find out my name, they want to call me by my name. I said, no, you don't. Hold it. I said, I'm Mr. or don't call me at all. We have to make sure that these kids understand the point of respecting of each other. And elders deserve the respect because you never got this far.
That's right.
By not respecting others.
That's right.
You know, and I think when they took, spare the rod, no, my mama never spared no rod. In other words, she hid the rod until another rod was found.
Tell me about it.
Wasn't no sparing it. And then when she couldn't find what she was looking for, she picked up whatever she found on the way, whipping your behind. I mean,
then you have children saying that, or I can call the police on you.
Yeah.
Well, my mama would tell you, call them. And they go on with
and
you, too.
They are abusing me. You're abusing me.
Yeah. Well,
yeah,
see, that was the problem when the social services stepped in and child abuse was created because you put some whelps on them.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, there's a difference between whipping and beating.
Well, I had a friend whose daughter hit her in the head with a bottle, and she called, the child called 911, and they were talking about her, you know, punishing the child. Didn't say anything about the child hitting her mama in the head with glass. You know, that was, I don't know, that really got
me. That's
the
problem.
Really
I mean, are we kind of twisted here?
It
who's
is.
Supervising
it is.
Who?
But the cop
right?
said it was, you know, she was
well,
in the, it's always the parents' fault. But if it had been
well,
me,
it is,
she'd have had to call
who
the
was the kids
ambulance.
Besides the teacher, who's with the kids more? The parents.
The kids are with the kids.
Not necessarily. That's right. The kids are with
more.
The kids. Not necessarily a parent.
More. The kids are with the kids more.
The parents are out there trying to have a good time. And a lot of them are going out with their children having a good time. So it's got to be a line that you don't cross. It's got to be.
But it has to be taught at an early stage.
Absolutely. I agree. But you have to teach it.
And that's
what
we're not
doing. You don't go around talking to a friend of yours and then the child is talking in the conversation, too. What kind of crap is that?
Well, that's when you're supposed to check them, right?
Well, I couldn't say anything to somebody else's kid.
Shoot, I do.
Well.
This is grown folks conversation. You had no business in it, or the conversation's over with. That'll stop that problem.
No, it'll stop the problem. I don't have to talk to either one of them.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But you're not solving the problem for that kid.
Well.
So you're saying no repercussion at all is better than hurting somebody's feelings?
Are you talking to me? Because I'm getting ready to get on you.
Oh. Come on with it. What did they say? Bring it on.
Somebody,
Yeah,
but you know, but like I said, when you have kids raising kids, I mean, you know, you know, what can you do? I mean, if they're 16, 15, 16, or 17, they haven't finished school their own self, themselves, you know. So what do they really know about, I'll just say, the business world? They know about the street world. But what do they know about the – because I know adults don't even understand what the business world is all about. When you start talking to them, they look at you like you're crazy. What are you talking about?
Yeah, well, a lot of us don't.
But a lot of us can if we just are willing to listen to one adult. And I think the problem with a lot of people is they just don't like the messenger that has the message.
Yeah, that might be true. But you know what? I think kids respect adults when they don't get their way. I think they do. And I think they want some kind of discipline.
Yeah.
I think they want discipline.
Right. If they
don't get it, you know, they just go with the flow.
That's what they're used to doing.
Have you ever seen a little kid get ready to touch a hot stove? What is the first thing they do before they touch that hot stove? They look
up at their parents'
face and see if they're going to tell them to stop.
Right.
And if they don't tell them to stop and they burn their fingers, they give you the dirtiest look. You know, because you were supposed to tell me to stop. You tell me to stop about everything else.
And they know when they're doing wrong, too.
Absolutely.
Of course, that's why they're looking at you while they do it.
Yeah. Yeah. But they want that discipline.
Yeah. If you know what your boundaries are, you're normally in pretty good shape. If you knew what when I was growing up, I couldn't bring a bike that didn't belong to me home.
Right,
I couldn't bring anything. I don't care. Don't let me come in there with a shirt that my mother didn't know that she didn't buy.
And you better have your butt on that porch for them streetlights turned on, too.
Yeah.
Everybody had to come in the house with the streetlights. We don't have streetlights anymore.
Well, you're in a rich neighborhood. Y'all don't need
streetlights. No, no, no. The city.
They can't afford to pay the bill.
Right. Yeah.
Well, there was another way to do it, too. Don't let darkness catch you behind down the street.
Right. You had to be sitting on that front porch or somewhere.
Right.
You may be next door if your mom lets you.
Better be within calling distance.
Right. Well, you knew your mother's voice from two blocks away.
Absolutely.
When they said that name, your ears perked up.
But you can't keep your kids out now because folks are snatching them.
Most of the time, they have to stay in the house. You have to be careful with these kids. Well, I'm saying, if you know that, then you know what you're supposed to do with them, you know. You should have a tight range on them. Because when I was raising my kids, I said, if you ever hear me call your middle name, that means you better start running to wherever I'm at. And people say, well, that's crazy. I says, no. Say, for instance, a dog is coming down the street. I can't keep saying my kid's name 4 and 5 times. You know what I mean? I can't say Tommy, 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 Tommy. The dog didn't got him by then. You know, or I want them to move out of trouble, you know, trouble out of the way of trouble. When I called their middle name, we got to go.
That's like a red flag,
because I ain't got time to be begging you and calling your name 20 times, because then it might be too late.
Well, I don't know what the remedy is going to be with the situations that we have now, because it's serious. It really is serious. And
it's past serious.
Well, give me another word. But somebody does anybody care?
Well, that's the problem. The problem is everything is about profit now over human needs.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
And,
so what do we do?
And he sounds Jones was talking, he sounded very serious. He said, what is the church going to do? Now, they're looking to us, talking about $5 billion or $5 million, something, just us in California, to stop these gangs from doing it, killing up these kids, the kids killing up each other. And it's hard to really complain about the police officers when we're doing it to ourselves, even more so. Then we have a very high suicide rate among our children.
Yeah.
Well, that's growing, too. I mean, opioids, they're saying now that has surpassed the numbers of infiltration into the United States. Then you got another problem, too. You got doctors that's always prescribing medicine to you that you don't even need.
Yeah. Because they getting a part of it.
Right. I mean, and then, so, again, you have to be responsible for your own health concerns,
right.
You know, and don't have to accept this medicine, especially when you know this medicine makes you sick. Why, you know, it says continue taking it even though it makes you sick. What? Why do I want to continue on doing that, knowing that I'm going to have these other side effects? Turn around and see something growing out the side of my neck. No.
Because the doctor said.
Yeah, well, I don't need the doctor's permission to know that something's making me sick before he gave me this pill. So sometimes we have to make decisions that benefit ourselves. And then we need to get a second opinion. And the best person to get that opinion about if this medicine is working for you, go back to the pharmacist because they have more answers than the doctors do. I've learned that.
Mm-hmm.
They can tell you what this medicine is going to do, or they can also tell you the medicine that you're taking if it's going to have a conflict with it. So, you know, I guess it's about being responsible again. And I don't
taking on responsibility for yourself on someone else. Yeah.
Right. And I don't see that happening anymore. Nobody's taking claim to their own kids messing up. You know, you see these stories where children go out here and shoot each other, and they say, my son, he was an honest victim.
Yes.
But he was the one that created the shooting.
He was a good kid. All his life.
My son, he didn't do that.
Yeah, I know.
So, you know, it's what we don't know. It seems to what hurts us more so than anything else. Or the denial.
Yeah, that's what it is. Parents are denying.
I've never said what my kids will or not do because, like I said, some of the stuff surprised me. And when my brother was alive, you know, he used to say, well, my girls, they never tell stories. I said, Brent Bunzel, we lied as many times as we could get away with it. Now, what makes you think your kids ain't going to do the same thing? So what I'm saying, you know, sometimes kids have to understand whatever you do, you're responsible for it because you did it.
Right.
You know, and, you know, to take up for them is really, really doing them a disfavor because, like I said, they think it's like Trump. He just changed the subject when he don't like what you're talking about. You know, he never finished a real true thought, you know. So he just changed the subject to something else. Then he kept going, he changed the subject again, you know. And nobody ever asked him, will you please finish the sentence? And say what you truly, really want to say.
We just need to get out.
We're just looking for stuff to make us feel good.
Well, I don't know what to say to that, but what I will say to my guests is there something that you would like to leave us with?
While we were talking, I thought about something. The richest man in the world is not the one who has his first dollar, but the one who has his first friend. We need friends that are willing to tell us when we're doing something wrong or can help us do something right. So people don't need to discard their friends because they told them something that they didn't agree with. They need to choke it up and think about it, and then maybe they'll say that the messenger had a message that I needed to listen to.
Okay.
That's something to think about, yeah.
All right. So, Ms. Lucy, did you have something you wanted to say before we go?
I would like to. I heard this. Pastor Jamal Bryant was preaching, and I like to hear his preaching because he starts out with a bunch of facts. And he gave out the facts that he said for an average black family, I think it was, if I'm getting the figures right, in America, our net worth of earning power, whatever, is about $17,000. While the average white family, their earning power, whatever the financial power they have, is about, I think he said, $117,000, something like that. It was way higher than the black family. Then he said from the time teenagers, black and white, from, I think, 18 to 34, the earning powers is the same. In other words, they can make a difference, okay? But he said the problem comes when you retire. He says for the average black family, I think it's $46,000, you know, as far as income-wise, something like that. But he says but for the average white family, it's $300,000 at least when they retire. But this is when you really need it, you know. And he said by the year, the figures that he got, he said by the year 2053, the average or whatever, the earning power or whatever, will be zero for black families. And I've been concerned about that. What are we doing, you know? Zero. You know what I'm trying to say. The figures. It would be
yeah,
zero.
Yeah, the network.
By 2000.
The network.
Yeah, whatever, yeah, around that time. Be zero. And I'm saying, what are we doing? A lot of
well, one thing we don't do is we don't teach children finance.
That's true.
Yeah.
Okay, we have.
We like to try to buy it, and get it while we can, you know, because we've been without it for so long. You know, we need to want everything while we can. You know, and I know I have been guilty of this too, but I've been changing, trying to build something, but then when the kids might need something or this or that, you know, that's what I keep dealing with. But it's something to think about. And now they're killing each other. You're trying to stop the police from killing them, but they're killing each other even more. You know, it's what can we do? We have to come up with something.
Yep.
Well,
we have to come up with something.
There's a lot of things to change. Thanks so much for allowing me to speak
you
to
you. You're welcome. Have one person who wants to make a comment or ask a question?
Is my background noise, is it bothering anybody right now or is it fine?
No, it's okay.
Okay. Yeah, I get, you know, it's like it's not you guys. It's not you guys, okay? It's the problem. It's the widespread problem, you know, I've sat here many times and tried to get with the best of the minds, you know what I mean? The brightest people. And there was only one or maybe just one or a couple that I noticed that were the rising ones, the ones that were the emerging leaders. And these were the ones that were able to entrain other people to follow that example by the energy that they had. And the people that were with them were going with them, you know. They were. It was like a pendulum swinging, you know. We were all swinging together, you know. And when we're moving into the future, This is where our success is at. But I find that people that don't take responsibility for their actions, this is just what I'm saying, and it's true though, they get all these problems and stuff, which we're discussing today. So as a result of this, I've had to look at things a little bit differently. And if we teach our children to go to church, you know, however good you think that is and all that stuff, I'm going to say something about denomination, what religion you come out of, or whatever that is. I'm not impressed by all of it, because it's all a legal relationship. Now, if you can acknowledge that all that's just putting somebody their identity in that little of a box, when their identity should be in the universe where all the possibilities are, where everybody has a right to access it. It's not contingent on the pigment of our skin, you know. Come on, man. You know, how shallow can we get, you know? That's pretty damn shallow, if you ask me. And limiting being people that are limited by society, what they think and how society says things, when there's so much potential just being ready to explode on the scene right now. And so I just want to encourage people to take responsibility for their actions, and I can teach them how to do it in a simple way that they can practice, where they can actually get somewhere in life, because they can take what I'm saying and apply it to their heart, which is themselves, and then they can apply it to their lives, because I speak the language that's the first language that we all learn, and it's all about feelings. Now, I know feelings are important because it helps us to be able to see what's wrong. Because 9 times out of 10, we're enjoying our feelings until something comes up on the radar and says, hey, something's wrong, right? So being responsible is taking responsibility for your feelings instead of relying on your feelings. Because when you rely on your feelings too much, it causes a lot of problems. And when somebody calls you on the carpet, you don't want to look at your mistakes because, well, that's not fair. Well, of course it's not. So we won't talk about your mistakes. Let's talk about the real thing. And then you got an opportunity to have a heart-to-heart with these people because they finally opened up to you. Because it's, after all, I mean, you know, they have to be able to trust you because you're being honest with them. And if you don't pay attention to their feelings, well, they might just shut the door on you and you can't get at them. So we got to keep that door open, right?
Yeah, I guess we do.
Yeah. Well, hell yeah, we do. And there's an art form to that too. You know what I'm saying? But I'm getting all over the place here. I better slow down, man. Hold on, the brakes down. Hold on. Whoa, slow down.
Okay.
Woo, I'm happy, you know, because I know what I'm talking about. That's what I'm saying. I know what I'm talking about.
Okay, listener, and thanks for calling. I forgot to ask you what your name was and where you were calling from.
This is Way Busy, calling from California.
All right. I appreciate the call.
I appreciate
and thank
you
so much.
Thank you. God bless
you. You too.
Thank you. Can I stay on the line and listen?
You sure can. But we're getting ready to go. Okay.
People go on me all the time. They take off, so that's okay. You won't be the first.
No, time was over. I just let you come on. I wanted to hear what you had to say. I appreciate that. So you can call back in again.
Okay.
But call a little earlier.
I'm sorry. I just got on here and I just saw your thing, and I thought, well, these folks might be nice enough to talk to, and you are.
Oh, yeah.
You're very nice.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, thank you so much. God bless you, too. Thank you so much.
Okay, you too. Thanks.
All right. Okay, bye-bye.
Oh, bye-bye.
Well, I'm gonna listen, though, but, you know. Yeah.
Okay, that's about it. Okay. One more thing. Just one more thing.
Oh, sure.
One reason people resist change is because they focus on what they have to give up instead of what they have to gain. So with that having been said, I will say thank you to my guest, Officer Barnes. Thank you very much. You always give us something to think about. And And Mr. TC, you're always welcome.
Yes,
thank you for calling in and giving us your two cents. Appreciate that. And Miss Lucy, that's my girl. She's always good. She's got something to say. So, guys, just, you know, have a good weekend. I know I shall. I shall. And, you know, just enjoy your life. Enjoy your life because just because one chapter has come to a close doesn't mean the end. Keep turning the pages because your story is still unfolding. So have a great weekend.
And you as well.
I shall. My granddaughter graduated from state, and she's having her little ding thing tomorrow. And I have the little ones, so I have to go. Thank you for listening, and good night. Have a great evening. And
good
this
night.
Has been the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. Good night.